Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Watching the marathon runners to this music is much more enjoyable.
Yeah, right now it's in tune to the workers picking up some of the barricades over here on Columbus.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, tremendous fun.
Well, see, this is what they mean by rolling closures. Get it? Rolling. They move along.
I gotcha. I understand.
I'm just trying to be helpful.
Well, we'll keep you posted on all the latest closures, etc.
Boy, you sound enthused.
I hate this Sunday. There was a way I could do the show from my house today. I would have.
I remember a few years ago you said that you had built a tunnel from your house.
Oh.
That was to Tribune Tower, though. But now that we're in the new studios,
no, it doesn't
I don't
work.
Think the tunnel doesn't work.
No, I still run into the closures now.
Yeah.
I have to have that reconfigured. Let's see. Oh, here's a good question. Do the road closures affect getting to the United Center for 2 o'clock today?
I don't think they will. I think they'll be done by then, because they go to Damon near the United Center.
Damon between Adams and Jackson closed until 1:45 this afternoon.
So it'll be up by then. Because the red carpet show begins there. Shortly after 2 o'clock,
Stan Mikita tribute?
Yeah, the ceremony will be just before the game.
That's nice. That's nice that they're doing that.
Absolutely.
a lot of people think that I am grumpy today. I don't think I'm that much more grumpy than you normally are.
It's just more focused.
It's a little more focused. Instead of me being grumpy about lots of things, I'm focused on one thing to be grumpy about today. we'll keep everybody on what's going on here with all that. What else do we have going on today?
Some rain
in
the forecast, but warmer tomorrow. Geez, this is interesting. Highs only in the 60s today, and we could hit 80 or higher tomorrow,
and then back in the 50s at the end of the week.
Make up its mind. That's why I feel so verklempt all the time here now. You know, I just can't get decongested.
You can't get a groove.
Yeah.
You can't get decongested.
Well, you know what I mean. Uncongested.
Your allergies, you mean.
Yeah, my allergies.
Yeah. We have later in the show one of the stars of the fantastic movie A Star Is Born today. He's not only the co-star of the movie, but also the director, Bradley Cooper. It's going to be on our A-list interview for today. And you know, the Chicago Film Festival gets underway this week. This coming Wednesday, the film festival kicks off without a single street closure, I might add. We'll talk with the director of the film festival coming up in a little while. We've got lots going on for you here. Full show today till 1 o'clock. Dean Richards, Sunday Morning, WGN. And here's where I tell you about the Paramount Theater in Aurora, with only 2 weeks left on their production of Legally Blonde the Musical. Don't miss your chance, because audiences and critics can't get enough. Listen to this review from the Chicago Sun-Times. If you're wearing a retainer, you should be careful, because you might spit it out on account of laughing so hard. Yep, you heard that right, end quote. It ends October 21st, and only at the Paramount in Aurora. Winner of the Best Musical 3 years in a row. Tickets at ParamountAurora.com. That is ParamountAurora.com.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really
9:26, Dean Richards, Sunday Morning.
You're
Dean Richards Sunday morning. Apparently, the theme of the morning is that I'm a grouchy and that I'm grumpy, that I'm a grumpy grouchy this morning. So somebody actually texted in a grumpy old man to-do list. Number one, tell kids to get off my lawn. Number two, scowl at a neighbor. Three, write a scathing letter. Four, disinherit someone. Four, go for a long, slow drive in the passing lane, keeping the left signal on the whole time. Number six, tell kids to get off my lawn again. Number nine, buy more no trespassing signs. Number nine, tell some punk that in my day we had a tough. Number nine, grumble, grumbly. And number 10, tell someone to get off my lawn.
Does it say anything about getting a haircut?
Get a haircut, you hippies. Throw that in there just for fun as well. All right, so what? I wear my grumpiness proudly today. I wear it proudly today. Coming up, we've got the far-flung forecast. Do we have a good one today, Shawnee?
Oh, yes,
a doozy? Is it a toe-tapper?
Yeah, it's a toe-tapper and a knee-slapper.
Is it a ten-beller?
It's a real hootenanny.
Okay, right. Well, I can't wait now. We'll play a couple of messages and then update the news. And then the aforementioned far-flung forecast is next. On your Grump Fest for the nation, WGN. Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their Dental Institute, Family Medicine Clinic, Speech Language Institute, Physical Therapy Institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com. Or call 630-743-4500, 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic is your family's home for health care. And coming up tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, Shawnee, at 8:45 tomorrow morning, we have a secret super A-list surprise guest.
Ooh.
So secret.
8:45 tomorrow morning?
8:45 tomorrow morning. So
I'll be watching.
Secret. I cannot tell who it is.
You can't even, like, say it off the air?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. You can torture me and
we'll
I wouldn't
see if
tell.
We can talk him into it between now and 1 o'clock, Andy.
What are the initials?
Yeah.
No, I can't even.
You can't even do that. Okay.
8:45 tomorrow morning. I promise you. Secret. Super A-list guest tomorrow morning.
I'm going to be watching.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
News is sponsored by Fisher Nuts, oven roasted, never fried. Here's Dave Schwann. Talk Chicago Film Festival coming up next.
I've seen you before. I know your face.
Get out or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
It's a line from the famous motion picture.
I knew there was something.
Sunset Boulevard.
They're finished.
Talking about movies and the evolution of movies, and we have got some great ones that are coming up in the Chicago Film Festival. They'll kick off this coming Wednesday and run till October 21st at the AMC Reverse Theater downtown, the 54th annual Chicago International Film Festival. Mimi Ploche is the film festival's director and joins us on the phone line right now. Mimi, good morning.
Good morning, Dean.
Nice to have you with us today. Are you getting excited for the big kickoff of the festival?
Oh, yeah, we're really excited. We're going to be opening with a really beautiful film called Beautiful Boy. So we are excited to start with that, and we have more than 150 films to follow after that.
Yeah, this film, Beautiful Boy, I've seen already. It's powerfully emotional. That stars Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet, the story of a father and son, and the son's opioid addiction. It's you know, in many ways heartbreaking, in many ways very warm and wonderful. But
it is. It's both kind of pathos filled and really I think hopeful in the end as well.
Yeah. So talk about some of the big movies that Chicagoans will be able to get a first look at during the duration of the festival this year.
Yeah, after we open with Beautiful Boy the following night, we will be presenting the Chicago premiere of The Hate U Give. It's directed by Chicagoan George Tillman Jr. He actually studied at Columbia College Chicago, and we've shown many of his films at the festival, and we're thrilled to be bringing him back and presenting that. We will have George at the screening, as well as Amanda Stenberg, who's the star of the film, and she's really an up-and-comer. After that, on Friday night, we are going to be presenting a wonderful film by Academy Award-winning director Matthew Heineman. It is his fiction feature film debut called A Private War, and it's a stunning portrait of a journalist and a photojournalist who travel to war-torn countries to report on them. Stars Rosamund Pike, and she's really wonderful in it. And then big screening for us is on Friday night with The Widows, directed by Steve McQueen, which is, of course, set and shot right here in Chicago.
Steve McQueen of 12 Years a Slave fame.
Exactly.
Starring Oscar winner Viola Davis and so many more.
Yes, and Viola is also scheduled to attend, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, much of that cast is going to be here in Chicago for that. What do you think sets the Chicago Film Festival apart from others?
I think one of the things is our profile of being both international, in that the scope of the films that we select is from more than 50 countries, and so we're known for our international selection, but also for presenting the awards season, the upcoming awards season awards contenders. So we will have Widows, a film like Widows, side by side with a film from Estonia. And then also this year we'll be presenting a wonderful spotlight on Italian cinema.
Yeah, so really lots of variety, but also I notice some classic films this year that you're going to be showing, the old MGM musical, The Bandwagon. That'll be fun.
We are. That is in conjunction with a tribute to Chicagoan William Friedkin, who's best known probably for The Exorcist. And there's a documentary that by an Italian director, actually, that came out about him this year. So we invited Friedkin back to Chicago because we thought it's about time that we recognized his body of work and his career with a Career Achievement Award. And, of course, the documentary highlights kind of the breadth and depth of his work, but we asked him to choose a film that not represented what the kind of films that he made, but something that inspired him, and he selected The Bandwagon.
Very interesting. Interesting choice. When you said William Friedkin, best known as, I thought you were going to say WGN TV director, because that was his early job. He worked at WGN TV way before The Exorcist.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, former WGN TV employee. So we're looking forward to seeing him again when he comes back into Chicago. What are some of the? I know you've got tons of foreign films. What about some of the documentaries that you're going to be showing this year?
Well, I think one of the most kind of connected with our moment documentary that we'll be showing, there's several, but one is American Dharma by Academy Award-winning director Errol Morris. And this is a portrait of Trump advisor Stephen Bannon. And I think really takes a look at kind of this political moment and how we got here through the character of Bannon. It's shown in his kind of traditional interview style, where it's an intimate conversation between the director and the subject of the film, and really gets to the heart of what's going on now. And also is connected with cinema because of Bannon's love of kind of classic Hollywood war movies and westerns, and his connection with the heroes of those films.
I noticed when I was looking down at the list that you have a film that's called United Skates, about roller skating culture in the African-American community.
It is. It looks at kind of the role of roller skating rinks and the different styles of skating in the communities across the U.S., but also how the rinks have been kind of systematically shut down in the communities in which they thrived. Again, ending on a more hopeful moment, but one of the wonderful things is the showcasing of the different styles of skating, and particularly the Chicago style. So afterwards, there's going to be a party at the rink down on the south side, and I think we'll get to experience some of the it's going to showcase some of the roller skating styles.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. You know, we always look forward to the A-listers coming into town, and we cover them and talk with them. You mentioned some of them, Viola Davis and George Tillman and Bob Tidal from The Hate U Give, and Amandla Stenberg, who is one of the stars of that movie. Who else do we have coming through? You mentioned Friedkin, William Friedkin. Who else is coming in?
We have, we're doing a tribute to Carrie Mulligan. It's our centerpiece film is Wildlife. She's the British actress who I think first shone in out or stood out in an education, and of course has gone on to star in many wonderful films since then. But I think this film Wildlife really showcases. I always appreciated or admired both the subtlety and the sensitivity of her performances. The film also stars Jake Gyllenhaal and is a first-time feature by the actor Paul Dano.
When will that be shown?
That will be shown on Tuesday, October 16th.
Okay, very good. If people want to get more information about exactly what films are being shown, when, where, you know, all the details, what's the best way to do that?
Go to ChicagoFilmFestival.com, and the whole lineup is there, both by film title as well as by schedule, by day.
And everything is being shown at one Cineplex at the AMC River East at 322 East Illinois Street downtown, so you don't have to traipse all over the city trying to find some of these things.
That's right. For the film lovers, it's easy. We have some of our audience members go to as many as 4 or 5 films a day.
Yeah, that's great. ChicagoFilmFestival.com. Mimi Ploche is the film festival director. It's very nice to see you. I'm sure you'll be sick of seeing me over the next couple of weeks.
We'd love to see you all out there. Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Mimi. Appreciate that. We'll take a quick break and get ready to update news next on WGN. All right. Coming up, meteorologist Mike Hamernick will give us the full details on today's weather and how it's going to be both gorgeous and awful the rest of the week. That's coming up in just a bit. But also, Pete Davidson on Saturday Night Live last night gives it to Kanye West. It's wild. I'm going to play that for you after a check of WGN News. Here on the station with the top 5 at 5 on the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons, 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. With the latest, sponsored by American Weather Makers, here's Dave Schwann. Yeah, it's a completely different vibe that we have this year for the Chicago Marathon being here in our new building instead of over at the old dump where we used to be.
Every time you say that, it's great.
Because we were right on the street level before. So right about now, we would begin to see emaciated-looking people walking down the street.
Covered with foil.
With their foil blankets and their medals. And looking like they didn't enjoy 1 minute of it. remember the year that we were out there passing out donuts?
Yes.
So that's because I said that.
We could have been doing it even closer. I mean, right at the start of the race, we could have been on Lower Columbus handing out donuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and scalding hot chocolate. A la Seinfeld.
That's right. Here.
Because I said that none of the people who were looking like, in the marathon looked like, they didn't look healthy to me. They all looked like they needed a sandwich. So we were going to go outside. I think, we may have gone out 1 year with sandwiches.
That I don't remember.
I don't remember, but I know definitely we went out there with donuts. And we were passing out donuts to the runners.
And you also remember our friend and who did traffic with us a number of years ago, Bruce Buckley, coined the term cakewalk, our version of the marathon.
Right. Well, we said that we were going to. And by the way, we're still working on this. So that's you probably think, because it's probably been over 10 years and nothing's happened, that the idea is not going to happen. But
it's taken 10 years. This 10 years.
We are working on doing like sort of an alternative, you know, for those of us that are not, you know, we're not really quite able to run 26 miles.
26.2.
Ours would be like three blocks. If you run, you get disqualified. You have to walk. And about every 25 feet or so, instead of, you know, like the people handing out Gatorade and bananas and, you know, like healthy stuff like they do in the runs, we would pass out chocolate cake, fried chicken.
Margaritas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we never said that, but that's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
Margaritas. And, you know, it's a three-block
milk,
really slow walk.
The slower, the better.
Slower, the better. And, yeah, we were going to call it the cake walk, you know, and do it for charity. But we were trying to figure out a way to do this, you know, because it's only three blocks to do it, but to disrupt as much traffic as possible. In honor of the Chicago Marathon.
We should still do this.
We're working on it.
Okay.
Our promotions department works slowly, but the wheels are in motion for that and the bowling and all the things that we said we were going to do.
Kayaking,
all those things. We may have to wait until the weather warms up a little bit. So, last night on Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson gave it to Kanye West. Kanye was the musical guest last week. All week, people have been talking about his political rant that he went on at the end of the show. That, you know, how the cast all comes out on the stage, and Kanye starts talking about politics and the president. And, you know, the show goes off the air. The show, you know, when it's time to go off the air, you go off the air. But he continued to talk about politics even when they went off the air. And, you know, the cast was on stage with them, and, you know, some couldn't leave. Pete Davidson, you can actually see him in the video sneaking off and getting off the stage at some point. Kanye wearing a Make America Great hat that Kanye said he was bullied about, that the cast members didn't want him wearing that hat. Pete Davidson talks about this when he did a Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che last night.
First off, a lot of people thought Che should be the one to talk about Kanye, but we discussed it, you know, because Che's black, but, like, I'm crazy, and we both know which side of Kanye is at the wheel right now. So, off to a good start. So speaking strictly for myself, what Kanye said after we went off the air last week was one of the worst, like, most awkward things I've ever seen here. And I've seen Chevy Chase speak to an intern. And we all had to stand behind him. And here's what it looked like. So, like,
that inspires me.
I'm, like, on the left. I'm like, oh, God. And then I'm like, I want a career. So I leave. So Kanye was wearing a MAGA hat. That's what it's called. It's stupid. Yeah. And he started by saying people backstage tried to bully him into not wearing it. He wore it all week. Like, nobody told him not to wear it. Like, I wish I bullied you. I wish I would have suggested that, you know, it might upset some people, like your wife or every black person ever. You know, I wish someone bullied me into not wearing this hat. Can you imagine that t-shirt was the second stupidest thing I was wearing? Then Kanye said that Democrats broke up black families with welfare, and that's slavery is not real. You know how wrong about politics you have to be for, like, me to notice? You know how annoying that is? Like, Kanye is a genius, but, like, a musical genius. You know, like, Joey Chestnut is a hot dog eating genius. You know, but I don't want to hear Joey Chestnut's opinion about things that aren't hot dog related.
So there you go. Yes, I agree.
Thank you. But, like, Kanye, I know you're like, yo, this is the real me. I'm off the meds. Take them. There's no shame in the medicine game. I'm on them. It's great. Take him. There's nothing wrong with take him. If I ever got on a plane and the pilot said, I just want all you to know, this is the real me flying. I'd jump out. Being mentally ill is not an excuse to act like a jackass. Okay? I'm quoting my therapist, my mom, and my mailman. Sorry, Carl. But no, seriously, one time I stopped taking my meds and I bit my mom. No, it's all good. I bought her a house.
All right, so is there anything Kanye can do to win you back?
Yeah, there is. And I'll tell you in a way that Kanye understands. I made this. Make Kanye 2006 again.
So Pete Davidson pulls out a hat that looks like a Make America Great hat that says Make Kanye 2006 again, referring to, you know, the heyday of his music, I suppose. But Pete Davidson famously and very publicly, you know, talking about dealing with mental illness and being on medication and so forth, and being surprisingly candid on national television about the whole thing last night. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, meteorologist Mike Hamernick joins us. Let's get the update on the forecast for today next on WGN. All right, it is 10:22 WGN. Let's get a check of our Sunday forecast and look ahead toward this. Looks like it's going to be a little bit of an up-and-down kind of week. Meteorologist Mike Hamernick, good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Dean. Yeah, way up and way down this week, temperature-wise. Real roller coaster coming our way. Today, though, kind of middle of the road. Pretty seasonal day coming up with temperatures around 60 degrees, often on light rain showers. Marathoners probably not all that bothered by the rain because most of the rain has been light and the temperatures are cool enough that it's actually a better day today for marathon running than it will be tomorrow when the heat and humidity will be back.
As it's been here in Chicago the past couple of years where it's been ridiculously hot.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, that one year, that was about 7 or 8 years ago, where the marathon was actually canceled halfway through because of the warm and humid conditions. So the timing is pretty good. The rain, as long as it's not too heavy, doesn't bother the runners too much. And even though humidity levels, you look at the percentage, the relative humidity, that's high. The dew points are low, and that's really the key there, that when the dew points are low, that it's actually comfortable for the runners. So good news on that front. So good day for a marathon, actually, now, overall, despite the rain. I guess the spectators are not enjoying it as much as the runners are.
It's just the light misting outside. Yeah. It's not like it's a torrential downpour.
That's true. That's
just
true.
A light mist. Try to think of it as a refreshing mist.
That's true. Yeah, you could, especially tomorrow, you might want a little bit of that refreshing mist because it's going to get steamy around here.
Really?
Yeah, we got a warm front that's poised to move through tonight. With that warm front lifting north through Chicago, Dean, it's going to set off some bigger storms, some heavier downpours. So lighter rains today, off and on, heavier storms tonight. So it could be kind of noisy. They might wake you up in the middle of the night as the warm front lifts north, and some heavy downpours, too. We could see a good 1 to 2 inches of rain tonight. The rain today will be a quarter of an inch or less, but heavier rains tonight. And then we shut off the rain for Monday and Tuesday as a warm front lifts north, and it's back to summer. Highs in the 80s, lows in the mid-60s. Our lows Monday night and Tuesday night will be warmer than our high today here in Chicago. So a couple more summer-like days coming up for Columbus Day and Tuesday before a strong cold front brings us back down again later on in the week. But we'll have to watch area rivers, Dean, because the rains tonight could cause another surge in those. We already have flood warnings on the Fox River and the northern portion of the Des Plaines River, so something to keep an eye on tonight as those heavier rains move on through.
Wow, so we have a little taste of everything this week.
Yeah, we won't see any snow, but it won't be all that far away. It could be a pretty good snowstorm over the northern plains, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, maybe northern Minnesota later on this week. Some big snows up there. And new development, too, over the next couple of days. I want to mention this because we have a tropical depression. It's not a storm yet, but when it is named a storm later on, it will be Tropical Storm Michael. Expected later on today. It's south of Cancun, so it's going to brush Cancun and the Cozumel area, the Yucatan Peninsula, and then head north through the open waters of the Gulf toward Florida. The Florida Panhandle later on this week, it may become a hurricane on Wednesday. Tuesday or Wednesday and make landfall in Florida as it stands right now. So something to keep a close eye on there. A minimal hurricane, but a hurricane nonetheless possible later on this week in the Gulf Coast. And I mentioned our roller coaster weather here, Dean. Warmest weather Monday and Tuesday, 80s, and then we may struggle to make 50 degrees on Friday and Saturday, the coolest weather of the season late this week. So enjoy the warm weather while it's here, because it is really going to get chilly. We may spend most of Friday and Saturday in the 40s this upcoming week.
Wow, so, highs in the 40s?
Well, yeah, we may only make it up to 48, 49 if we don't see any sunshine. So very chilly air headed our way later on this week. So a big roller coaster on the Saturday.
It's that traditional transitional time of the year,
right.
I guess.
Yeah, there's a real battle going on between winter and summer. We got summer to our south, winter to our north, and the summer's going to win out for a couple of days here on Monday and Tuesday.
Is it my imagination, or are we having more tropical storms that, you know, turn into hurricanes, you know, these past couple of years?
We had a big lull. We didn't have a landfall hurricane here in the United States, I think, for 8 or 9 years, I think it was. A long, long time after Katrina, you remember, back in 2005,
right.
And then there was a real lull. And then it's been picking up with the past couple of years. Yeah, it's definitely become more active the last couple of years as far as landfalling storms, and we may have another one later on this week. Fortunately, it looks like a minimal hurricane, but a hurricane nonetheless.
Any reason why that might be happening, or is it just, you know, atmospheric rolling the dice?
Overall, it just depends on the weather pattern. You know, we've been getting a lot of hurricanes. They've just been deflected back out to sea. You get a trough of low pressure over the eastern United States, and what it does is hurricanes approach the land or the coast, east coast of the United States, they get deflected back out into sea and never make landfall. So that's really been the trend over the past couple of years, that we haven't seen much in the way of landfall here in the United States, the eastern coast of the United States. But that, of course, changed this year, with most recently the last month or so.
Well, we've got a little roller coaster to deal with ourselves this week. We'll stay posted.
And yeah, keep all your wardrobe handy. You got some fall, you got maybe a touch of winter, and definitely some summer coming up this week.
That's crazy. Mike Hamernick with the latest. Thank you, sir.
All right, Dean, thank you.
There is our latest in weather. A quick update of the news follows this on WGN.
It's one small step for man.
If ever anyone deserved a movie to be made about their life,
one giant leap for man.
It's astronaut Neil Armstrong.
And Hollywood's A-listers step up to make it.
Director Damien Chazelle and Ryan Gosling join us in studio.
The Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 on 720 WGN.
A recent apartment fire in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood is a tragic reminder of the importance of working smoke alarms. It also raises important questions about Chicago's building codes. The fact is, Chicago is behind the times. It should, as any world-class city would, make fire safety a priority by adopting a model code that includes fire sprinklers for new apartment buildings. Why? These codes reflect lessons learned from past fires and the latest international research. They require fire sprinklers in all new construction apartment buildings, like the ones in Little Village, if it was rebuilt. Today's residential fires can become deadly in less than 2 minutes. Working smoke alarms alert residents. Fire sprinklers stop a fire from becoming deadly. Working together, they can prevent 80% of the fire deaths. Fire Prevention Week is October 7th through the 13th. Let's be proactive instead of reactive. Don't let another tragic fire be the reason to upgrade the codes. For more information, visit homelifesafety.com.
The Papa Nicholas Coffee Mission, from the earth to the cup. Give the world great coffee at a great value. Experience great coffee. Experience Papa Nicholas. See papanicholas.com.
All right, let's get the very latest now, the very latest news, and then we'll talk about this new production of Tootsie the Musical that's just opened in the Chicago area, coming up in our Weekend Theater segment. First, let me tell you about Architect of Chicagoland, the leader in creating outdoor gathering spaces for Chicagoland families. Architect's design professionals create solutions that blend form, function, and affordability. Go to their website, architectofchicagoland.com, and get inspired for your family's new gathering space. Their professional staff is focused on design, quality, and service. Architect's designers will transform your space into your family's personal refuge. Why Architect? Because their professional staff is focused on design, quality, and service, they are Chicagoland's best creator of outdoor spaces. Paver patios, decks, pergolas, screen porches, sunrooms, outdoor kitchens, and more. Visit architectofchicagoland.com to find hundreds of photos and videos of the projects they've designed and built, and the reviews by happy customers. It all starts with your free in-person consultation with Architect. They even offer financing so you can get that dream backyard this season. Your new family time begins at architectofchicagoland.com. Architectofchicagoland.com. Tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, A-list interviews live in studio with one of the biggest A-listers in the world. Remember I told you it was going to be...
You're still not going to tell us.
Well, it was a big secret. And then I just heard Ro Khan say a minute ago that these same guests are going to be on his show. So I guess it's not that big of a secret. If Ro is blabbing who's going to be in town, we were told to keep it a secret. That the security people didn't want us to say it.
Don't look at me.
Shawna, you were right. We were talking about it off the air because we were very intrigued.
Yeah, pretty close.
Man, he plays Ryan Gosling plays Neil Armstrong, astronaut Neil Armstrong.
I was leaning in that direction, yes.
The director of this movie, First Man, is Damien Chazelle. You will see them first in Chicago tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News at 8:45. Because it's not a secret anymore.
I saw a little mini documentary on the making of the movie.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I can't wait.
It's a great movie.
I'm going to the IMAX to see this
one. That's a great, great, great idea. That's what we did. When I was at the Kennedy Space Center.
Oh, at the IMAX theater there?
At the Kennedy Space Center.
Wow.
Yeah. It's spectacular in IMAX. It's a great, great movie. Really great movie. But we'll talk with Ryan Gosling and director Damien Chazelle tomorrow morning on WGN-TV Morning News.
I'm sorry your secret's out of the bag here.
I would have liked to have been promoting it for quite a long time, but they asked me not to promote it, that they wanted it to be a secret. And I didn't want to spoil the secret.
Well,
you did your part.
I did my part. But now that the cat's out of the bag, I don't care anymore. shall we get the latest news sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com? Here's Dave Schwann.
Another opening, another show.
Opening night. It's opening night.
Another opening of another show.
And we had another opening of another show this week. Another pre-Broadway world premiere in Chicago this past week. With Tootsie the Musical. You remember the 1982 film that starred Dustin Hoffman as a difficult to work with actor. Couldn't find a job as an actor, so he became a woman, got himself a job on a TV soap opera in the movie, and became a big hit. They have reconfigured this story a little bit in the new stage version that'll be going to New York later on. And it's kind of entertaining. The show is, kind of entertaining. It now, the actor who becomes an actress, Dorothy Michaels, is a stage actress and is starring in a play. But, the basic pieces of the story are all still there. Some of the characters that I thought were great characters in the movie are not in the story. And it's really not to compare one to the other. I mean, the bottom line of this is that when you go to see the show, I think you're going to enjoy it. It's an enjoyable night out. I wouldn't say that it's, the funniest show that I've ever seen. But it's funny enough. It's a good, entertaining night at the theater. I think that's the bottom line of it all. It is going to be here in Chicago through October the 14th. And on the WGN-TV morning, WGN Midday News, actually, or earlier this week, I talked with the two stars of the show. When we come back from the break, we'll share that with you. The stars of Tootsie are next WGN. 10:50 on WGN tomorrow morning at 8:45. On our WGN-TV Morning News, we will be joined in studio by Ryan Gosling. He's going to be in town with director Damien Chazelle, who directed to win an Academy Award, La La Land, a couple of years ago. Chazelle now directs Gosling in this amazing Neil Armstrong movie called First Man, which I've seen and is mind-blowing. It's a terrific film. They'll be on with us live tomorrow morning at 8:45. You will see them first on the WGN-TV Morning News.
Something's telling me it might be you. It's telling me it might be you. All of my life.
So Stephen Bishop and his song, It Might Be You. From 1982, that was the theme song from the Dustin Hoffman original version of Tootsie, the motion picture that's come out. And this new version is on its way to Broadway. It will be opening on Broadway in the spring of 2019. But in the meantime, this show that basically takes the same story, out-of-work actor, can't get a job as an actor, so he decides to change his gender to become a woman, to dress like a woman, and gets a job as an actress. Santino Fontana is the actor who takes over this Dustin Hoffman role. You may know him as one of the voices from Disney's Frozen. He was the character in Frozen of Prince Hans in that motion picture. He was also a character on the CW's Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. He's been in a number of roles. Shades of Blue, the Jennifer Lopez drama. He is joined in this production by a very talented actress by the name of Lily Cooper, who was here in Chicago when SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical, world premiered before it went to Broadway. And they are both part of this new production. As I mentioned, we talked with both of them this week on the WGN Midday News.
I think it's a great challenge. It's a great story. And I'm also always surprised by, it was 36 years ago. So there's a lot of people who
who have never seen the
Not
movie.
Born. Wasn't born.
Wow. Guilty.
I know. It's
Thanks
so
for
sad.
Making me feel old.
I know. It's so sad. Every day I think of that. So there are a lot of people who don't know the story, but ultimately it is a great story of somebody who is stuck and has to do something desperate to get ahead, and he does, and he deals with the consequences of
that. Do you purposely try to not do Dustin Hoffman mannerisms? And I mean, I noticed that the voice was a little bit similar.
I only saw the movie twice, so I haven't really, and I've read the screenplay many times. But when I remember from watching the movie, when the director called me and was like, hey, I want you to read this script. I watched the movie then. And the two things that stuck out to me were that red dress and that she was Southern. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. So of my memory in terms of his performance. So anything else is probably, I don't know, osmosis or
kind of a natural evolution.
Well, I think if you're trying to sound like a woman and you're Southern, it's kind of
there's pretty much only one.
It gets specific real quick.
You're either going to be Dorothy or from Gone with the Wind, right?
Exactly right.
Lily, is there any kind of pressure? I mean, you guys are getting ready to go to Broadway. You're going to be opening there in the spring.
Yeah.
Another pre-Broadway show here in Chicago. We're very proud that shows like to come here first.
It's actually my second pre-Broadway show in Chicago.
SpongeBob,
I was here 2 years ago with SpongeBob.
Yeah,
and so it's a fantastic city to premiere new shows in.
Yeah, so you know a little about that pressure then, right?
Yeah.
Getting set for, the big curtain to go up.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, though. We get the opportunity to really fine-tune the show and change it and work on it and get it into the best shape possible before we move to Broadway. So I think we feel like we're in a pretty great place.
What is this pre-Broadway period like? I remember seeing the producers when it was doing its pre-Broadway here, and I would see the director, Susan Stroman, in the audience, because I saw it so
She was at the show that you were at yesterday.
Was she there yesterday, too?
Yeah.
I didn't see anyone taking notes. I was looking around, because that's what she was doing during the producers. But I wonder if you get, do you get daily changes? I mean, how often is this show changing?
Every day.
In this process.
Not now.
We had about 3 weeks of previews where we were constantly changing things every day. We'd get new pages, new text, new lyrics, new staging.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing process, right?
Never, it's like a war movie. Never ends.
Just never ends.
I have a stack of cards of notes that are literally this big of every day, from every day.
Lily talked about being in SpongeBob before, which was amazing, by the way. I'm so sad that it closed already on Broadway because it's so brilliant.
Yeah.
But people know you from the movie Frozen.
Sure.
Prince Hans, right?
Yes.
And, you know, fans of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
You were a regular on that. So, I mean, and also Tony nominated from Cinderella as well. So you've got, you know, quite a little history for yourself going as well. What do people ask you about most? Do people...
You know, it's funny. It's always different. My wife and I, we went on our honeymoon in Europe. And I was recognized twice in Spain from Shades of Blue.
Really?
With Jennifer Lopez.
The Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I was recognized at a Starbucks in Barcelona and at a cathedral.
That is wild.
So I was like, what is that about in Spain?
Please tell me that you go to Starbucks and when you're making your order, they go, Prince Hans here.
No, they do. I do. I use the name Sam only because they can't spell my name. No one can spell my name. So I just say Sam. But no one's ever recognized me as Prince Hans.
You're going to be here in Chicago for a little while longer and then going to New York. I think we have all the info on the screen. The pre-Broadway world premiere of Tootsie is going to be running through October the 14th, Cadillac Palace Theater in Chicago, BroadwayInChicago.com if you'd like to get some more information. Thank you so much, Santino Fontana, Lily Cooper. Thank you for coming in for the great show.
Yeah, you can see their show through October the 14th here in Chicago. It's at the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater on Randolph Street in Chicago. A quick break and we'll update some news for you. Bradley Cooper in our next half hour talking about his amazing motion picture, the new version of A Star is Born. That's next on WGN. All right, let's get a quick check of what is going on, and then we will carry on as well with lots of stuff on our favorite Sunday morning of the year. How's the marathon going still, Schwani? Good?
It's going. They're still running, and there are still closures out there, in case you were wondering about those.
Well, I am. I'm waiting with bated breath to get the very latest. We will get all that here on 720 WGN Chicago, where Steve Cochran celebrates the most valuable person on the planet, weekday mornings at 720. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. With the latest news now, here is Dave Schwann.
He's Dave Schwann. We know that.
The king of comedy, a Borscht Belt favorite, Dave Schwann.
He owes us so much money in a 40-year rule jar. 40-year
rule breaking. Oh, Schwanny.
What a party we're going to have.
Schwanny, Schwanny, Schwanny.
Later we get to 60.
Do you know that today, tomorrow, is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire?
That's right.
It was, let me see here, how many years ago?
1871.
Carry the three.
About 147 years?
Let's see here. I think you
clearly
might be,
people getting into radio are not good at math otherwise.
This is why we're in this business.
I was told there'd be no math.
Clearly, if we were good at math, we'd be doing something worthwhile instead of this. Has it ever been determined in the story of Mrs. O'Leary? Did Mrs. O'Leary's cow really kick over the lantern?
It was decided. It's 147 years, yes, according to my precise calculations. And it was more or less determined that the cow was not at fault. Mrs. O'Leary's cow was not at fault. As a matter of fact, I think Alderman Ed Burke a number of years ago had a relative of the family, of the O'Leary family, come to testify about what went on, and it was apparently not something that the cow did. It's hard to believe that there were farms as close by as the origin of that fire, which is on DeCoven Street, and ironically now the Chicago Fire Department Academy.
Yeah, that's why they put the Fire Department Academy there, because it was the site of one of the most famous fires in history.
History, yeah.
A hot Sunday night in a barn on the near southwest side of Chicago, but that's not really the southwest side of Chicago.
Back then it was.
It's the South Loop.
It's the South Loop.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
A fire started. It spread quickly north and toward downtown. Quickly, because most of the buildings were made of wood and because of a drought that had taken place in prior weeks. Because of strong winds blowing from the southwest, firefighters were exhausted from fighting a serious blaze the day before. People ran to the lake for shelter as the city became an ocean of flame. It burned. So this was a Sunday night. The city burned until Tuesday. 18,000 buildings were destroyed, leveling much of the city, killing as many as 300 people. And out of the ashes, you know, what we have now. So,
and there was a fire on the very same day in Peshtigo, Wisconsin.
Right, right. Very true.
And about 1,500 people died there. And another thing, as you mentioned, the drought and very dry conditions. Sidewalks then were kind of raised platforms in spots, and there was debris that was also dry underneath them. And just there was a draft created and just made things worse. Everything came together at the worst possible time.
I don't think I could have lived back then.
Well,
I'm too much of a baby.
Too much.
I'm too spoiled. Ooh, everything's so dirty.
You wouldn't have been able to go to the Jewel.
Right. Right. I would have to go to the general store.
The general store.
Sam Drucker's general store. And keep my things covered.
Oh, hello, Mr. Richards.
Because it's nobody's business what I'm buying. Ebenezer Richards back then.
Ebenezer Richards.
Covering his goods. If you'll excuse the expression.
You'd probably take up two spots with your horse-drawn carriage, too.
I would. Park in the handicap horse carriage lane. Yeah, I don't think. Could you have lived back then?
No way.
Yeah, I don't think I would have made it.
It was too rough.
But you didn't know any better.
Spoiled brats.
You didn't know any better.
I know. I guess necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you been asked by a young'un, how did you live without your cell phone? How did you survive without that?
That's true.
Well, we did. Or how did you survive without air conditioning? People did. What?
You sound like my grandfather. You youngins. When's the last time you heard anyone use the word youngin in a sentence?
Just today.
The last Andy Griffith episode I watched.
Five episodes.
Oh, there goes the 40-year-old rule.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way I would have been dead back then.
If you had running water, you were rich.
If you were rich.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm sure I wouldn't have been rich. I'm sure I would have been living in some dirt shack.
Well,
someday when they invent radio, that's what I'm going to do.
where you can hear voices from afar.
I think I hear voices in my head pretty often, as it is right now anyway. What's love got to do with it? You hear the news about Tina Turner?
No, I did not.
She has got a memoir that is going to be coming out called My Love Story. That is about her life with Ike Turner.
I was going to say, it should be interesting reading.
Very well documented already in the motion picture, What's Love Got to Do With It. We saw that with Angela Bassett, who was so amazing in it. So she talks about that, but among things, now these are things that I didn't know. Now, 78-year-old Tina Turner recently had a kidney transplant. Did you hear about this?
No, and I didn't realize she would be 78?
Yeah, which is that's shocking right there, that Tina Turner, who is... I've seen her many times in concert. I've said many times, the greatest concerts that I've ever been at were at Tina Turner concert. She's amazing. I can't believe that she's 78 years old. But she made the disclosure. Well, first of all, in 2016, she was diagnosed with intestinal cancer. I had never heard that.
I hadn't either.
In 2013, Tina Turner suffered a stroke. I'd never heard that. These are all new revelations. that are a part of this book. But when she was being treated for intestinal cancer, she decided to go in a more holistic, homeopathic treatment, which was not successful for her and ultimately caused a total kidney failure for Tina Turner. So she needed to get a kidney transplant or she was going to die. And her husband, Erwin Bach is his name. They got married in 2013, steps right up, doesn't even think about it for a second, and volunteers to donate a kidney to Tina Turner. They have the transplant, and she is alive and doing well.
Doing better.
Still managing complications, that she says, with the transplanted organ. But, you know, how's this reaction out of something like that, of a near-death experience? Tina Turner said, I can look back and understand why my karma was the way it was. Good came out of bad. Joy came out of pain. And I have never been so completely happy as I am today. She said, I lived through a hellish marriage that almost destroyed me, but I went on. I know my medical adventure is far from over, but I'm still here, closer than we ever imagined, talking about her husband. How about that?
That's amazing.
How about that, Tina Turner? Say a little prayer for her. And all that you know she's been through, and all that she's given us. I mean, they talk about a survivor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's you know, been to hell and back, and has you know, not only lived to tell about it, but you know, flourished out of the hell that she lived through when she was with Ike Turner. So prayers for Tina Turner on that. What else do we have going on? There's a couple of other big showbiz stories today. Are you into Jersey Shores at all? The TV show Jersey Shores? I'm guessing not, since Mm-mm. It's not from 1960. since
I've
Milton
been to the Jersey Shore,
since Milton Berle was on it, not on it, you probably have never watched Jersey Shore.
Robert Young wasn't on it either.
He wasn't.
No George Burns.
No George Burns. No Gracie Allen. Do you know who Mike Sorrentino is? The Situation. They call him The Situation.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Shwani?
Continue, please.
This is like I'm speaking
isn't there
Russian.
Isn't there a Schnookie or something like that involved in there?
Yeah, Snooky.
Yeah.
Snooky.
Shwani, Schnookie.
Schnookie.
Yeah.
Don't call me names.
He was just sentenced to 8 months in prison, pleading guilty to one count of tax evasion.
Is this is on the show?
Well, it happened in real life, but I'm sure it's going to be on the show.
Okay.
Because you can't really do anything in life unless it winds up in a reality show. Somehow. What's the point of doing anything in life if...
if it's not going to be on a reality show.
If it's not part of a reality show, what difference does it make? You know, it's like Facebook. you know, what's the point of me sitting in a lounge chair unless I take a picture of my feet in the lounge chair and put it on Facebook so you all can see that I'm sitting in a lounge chair? I haven't really eaten dinner unless I've taken a picture of the plate.
And all the food on it.
And all the food on it, so you can see that I have eaten dinner. Now it's okay for me to eat dinner, because I publicly telling everybody I'm in a lawn chair and I'm eating dinner. And there are my feet, and there's my plate.
Have at it.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. I feel like there was something else I was going to say. Oh, the weekend box office numbers are in. That's what I was going to say. And the number one movie of the weekend is Venom, the Tom Hardy movie, the Marvel comics latest incarnation. Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams starring in it, and it made $80 million. That's enormous for an opening weekend, following pretty closely behind in second place. Not surprisingly, actually beyond expectations, but not surprisingly, A Star is Born, taking in $50 million over the weekend, which is pretty huge. It wound up being the biggest October box office weekend in motion picture history. Venom is, I think, is just a harmless action movie. I gave it a Dean's List C. I just thought it was okay. I didn't dislike it. I didn't love it. Just thought it was okay. Harmless. You know, it's nonstop action, nonstop special effects. But A Star Is Born is amazing, is absolutely amazing. And that's one that you do have to see for the performances, for the writing, for the direction by a first-time ever director, actor Bradley Cooper. He makes his directorial debut. He co-stars in it singing. He's never sung before, and he does a great job, along with Lady Gaga, who's never been starred in a feature-length motion picture before. So I thought the movie was just absolutely amazing. In our next half hour, my one-on-one interview with Bradley Cooper, that's coming up on WGN. All right, let's get caught up with the very latest now into our WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Here's Dave Schwann. Talking about Apple Fest, and we were talking earlier about what kind of apples we like best. Yeah, we forgot to mention a very important point. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So if for no other reason, then you should go enjoy some apples today.
If nothing else, a good old Red Delicious.
Nice and cold.
Yeah.
Crispy.
Oh, the crispier the better.
Crispier.
I don't like a soft apple.
Nobody likes a mushy apple. Nobody likes a mushy apple, although I will say I also love applesauce.
Oh, yeah, with a little cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. A little cinnamon.
Cinnamon, nutmeg, yes.
Pork chops and applesauce.
Oh, yeah.
That's good eating right there.
Very good. My dad makes his own.
Yeah, I was going to say, homemade. If you've had jarred applesauce, it's okay. But until you've had real homemade applesauce...
With the chunks in it.
With the actual chunks of apple in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's delicious. But so I've been getting emails, you know, because we can, you know, do the show and talk about Kavanaugh. We can talk about the president. We can talk about all important issues that are going on in the world and crickets. But you mention apples and the phones go crazy. People go nuts with the response to what kind of apples they like. But somebody sent me a note and said that there is a new hybrid of apples called Crimson Crisp apples.
Oh, Crimson Crisp? That I don't know.
They will be available. Actually, they're available right now, and it's a better Honey Crisp apple.
See, that goes along with what I said earlier about the Honey Crisp being a hybrid.
Yeah, well, apparently this is also
Crimson Crisp. I'm going to look for those.
And supposed to be good for snacking and also baking. Here's another one that's called Ever Crisp, which is available in the month of October. It's a hybrid of Honeycrisp apples and Fuji apples.
Okay.
I'll bet that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two nice flavors.
There they go, mixing their apples again.
Firestorm apples.
Talking apples and oranges there.
Right? Firestorm. Have you heard Firestorm apples?
I've
never heard of that either. It's available now, of course, in the fall. An improved Honeycrisp, rosy red in color.
Okay.
I enjoy a rosy red. Really, I like anything that's rosy red. Not just apples. Pretty much anything that's rosy red, I enjoy. So thank you for those extra suggestions.
No end to the variety of apples.
No end to the variety of apples is correct.
Can we compare apples and oranges next week, perhaps?
How do you like them apples? When we come back from the break, Bradley Cooper talks about his brand new movie, the number two movie in America this weekend, A Star Is Born, next on WGN. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. The song called Shallow from the soundtrack of A Star Is Born. An amazing soundtrack from an amazing movie. I gave it a Dean's List A+. I think this movie works on every single level. Storytelling, the movie making, the performances. Bradley Cooper making his directorial debut and also co-starring with Lady Gaga, who makes her big screen or feature film debut in this movie. Cooper singing as a rock star whose star is on decline. Lady Gaga, whose star is on ascent. They meet, they fall in love, and it's a beautiful story of unconditional love and the effects of addiction and dependence. There's so much going on in the story of this movie. Not only Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga great in the movie, Sam Elliott is amazing in the film, Dave Chappelle, Andrew Dice Clay, who's turned out to be a really outstanding actor, is actually also quite great in this movie. There are Oscar nominations there to come all over this film, I promise you that. The movie came in number two in the box office this weekend with like $50 million. Pretty good weekend for them. It was beaten by Venom, the Marvel Comics movie. Not a huge surprise, but the movie had a pretty great opening weekend. A couple of weeks ago, Bradley Cooper was here in Chicago, and we were able to talk with him one-on-one. And I wondered about the decision of Bradley Cooper. He's been going to cities all over the country to talk about the film and debut the film. Wondered why he decided to do that.
It's wonderful to be able to go around the country and show the movie. And I actually asked Warner Brothers if I could do this, because I had the chance to do it on Silver Linings Playbook. And I did something to go to different cities and talk to people and face to face. I don't know, I think that you get so much from it.
A different kind of feedback from actual people.
Yeah, well, you could feel how it's playing and how people respond to it. And I mean, that's why I make the art in the first place.
So how have you been reacting to it? I mean, everyone is saying this is the Oscar movie. This is the movie to beat this year. Is that intimidating? Is it great? Is it all those things?
I mean, the fact that we could maybe have legs to last that long, because it's a long time from now. We haven't even opened yet. That would be great. But the truth is, we haven't even opened the movie yet. I hope it does well. That's the only thing I'm really thinking about.
So you haven't started writing your Oscar speech yet. That's how I envisioned
that
you.
That would be a fool's errand.
Yeah. When did you know that you had like a special chemistry with Gaga in this? You took a chance thinking that she might be okay in this, but there must have been a moment where you were like, oh my God, this is something
special. I mean, the whole project was a chance. She was the least of it. You know, just trying to write something and tell a personal story within the framework of this property. I actually felt like I had an ace in the hole with her. Because when I heard her sing, she actually sang La Vie en Rose, which is a scene in the movie that I wrote because it was so affecting. And then when I met with her, I just thought, oh, well, this is it. This is the nuclear power that I have in the movie. And then the fact that the icing on the cake was that she worked so hard. I mean, I cannot tell you how hard she worked. So I never felt that, actually. I felt like, oh, well, at least I have her.
had you started training for singing yourself before Gaga? Because you're singing with one of the most popular vocalists in the world.
Singers in the world, yeah. No, because I was doing all the other aspects of the story and trying to find it to come together and all those other things. That started, because I met with her like 2 years ago, that started soon after she agreed to do the movie. And then it was about a year and a half, you know, almost 2 years of doing vocal work with this guy, Roger Love, in L.A. He's fantastic.
So during the making of this, is she coaching you in singing and music? And are you coaching her? Obviously, you are coaching her as the director in acting and areas in which she's not as familiar.
I'd say she was believing in me and giving me the courage to pursue it in a way that I think without her I wouldn't have had the courage to really find Jackson's musical voice. Because the other thing is, it's not me singing, it's the character. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a very different thing. I mean, if I started to take singing lessons as me, and I don't know, maybe I'd sound like a flute. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But his register was much lower, so it was a whole completely different sound.
Yeah. There's always so much danger when, you know, a movie with which people are familiar is remade. And this has to be one of the most remade movies, I would think, of all time. I mean, you had to consider that when you decided to go into
it. Of course. It was part of the reason why many people told me not to do it. But you can't control what moves you. And I had a story that I wanted to tell, and it just, this framework, the musical aspect of it, fit perfectly. And I just... I just knew it deep down, and if I worked hard enough, that I would hopefully create a story which that was personal enough and hopefully affecting enough to tell. And so I really had no choice. But you're right. I mean, it's not like the smartest thing in the world.
I think ultimately it is going to be the smartest thing in the world. I was going back and looking at some old tapes of like the first time that we talked.
When was that?
I think it was Wedding Crashers.
Oh, wow,
for a movie. Junket. Thank you for editing yourself
by the way. Of course. That was, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
That was 05. Was 05.
Yeah.
That was 04, wasn't it? Was it 04? I think it was 04.
Yeah. I mean, we both, I look especially dorky. You're just like the young supporting actor. Do you reflect on that now with where you are now and what you've accomplished, this movie in particular, of where you were really not that long ago in your career?
Of course I do. When I think about specifically Wedding Crashers, I think of the things that I learned from it. And the thing that really stuck with me was Vince Vaughn's willingness to go for it. And that was something I still take to this day. I was watching this guy, and I'd come to set and just watch him work. And just his willingness to just put it all out there floored me. And also, I made great friends, like Keir O'Donnell, I made friends with, who we did American Sniper with years later.
It's always great to see you.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Hey, thank God, je l'aperçois. Lady Gaga's La Vie en Rose. Great scene in the movie. Great song on the Star is Born soundtrack. Bradley Cooper for you this morning. Can't recommend A Star is Born enough. 11:57. We'll update news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Stories that matter are coming up next on WGN. Soak up the sun. Come along with John Williams and your favorite White Sox players to beautiful Riviera Maya, Mexico, for Socks on the Beach. December 9th through 16th, you'll enjoy 7 nights of all-inclusive accommodations at the Iberostar Paricio Lindo, 5 days of live broadcast with the John Williams Show, exclusive White Sox events like cocktail parties, beach games, and more. Your Apple vacation package includes nonstop round-trip flight from Chicago, plus hotel transfers. Book your trip today at WGNradio.com/events. Shwani, we were invited?
Where?
John's going to Mexico. You know where we're going?
Where are you going?
You're going too.
Oh.
Lake Barrington.
Yes.
They set the dates for this year's Tree Time.
When is it?
Christmas broadcast.
Yes. When is it?
I don't remember.
Great. My cousin was just asking me about that.
Are we going to do it? Yeah. Are we doing it again?
Or Friday. Yesterday, she was saying.
Yeah, that's a fun broadcast.
It is a fun broadcast. You don't remember the dates, though.
I don't.
Okay.
Do you need to know right this second?
No, I don't need to know this second, but I'd like to know the day before.
That's not for a while. Do you know Andy?
I have no idea. Oh. I need to know the dates.
Yeah. Oh, we want Andy to be there as well.
I get to tag along? All right, cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Nice. That's a tradition.
All right. Awesome.
That's a tradition.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Was it last year or the year before that we did the popular feature Know Your Nuts?
That was last year when we did Know Your Nuts. You're nuts.
Can do Know Your Apples now.
Oh, yes. How about them? How about them apples? How about them apples?
Definitely a new feature.
All right.
Definitely.
I hate to start planning a show this far in advance, but... As you can plainly tell by listening.
We're still planning the cakewalk and the bowling show.
We're working on all those things. Mm-hmm. Top 5 at 5 from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Weekday afternoons at 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users say play WGN radio on TuneIn. With the latest, here's Dave Schwann. To get into our food show in a few minutes here. Talking slow cooker recipes today. Chilly weather. But I was asking before if anyone had heard or seen Kevin Hart, comedian actor Kevin Hart, supposed to be running the marathon today. And apparently he was spotted on Channel 5.
Hmm.
You know, they cover... the marathon, wall-to-wall coverage of the marathon. Yeah, yeah. And one of the reporters talked with Kevin before the marathon started this morning. Let's listen to a little of that.
And how do you feel entering your second marathon?
I feel good. It's excited more than anything. You know, when you come to these events and you see how many people are a part of them, it's just a different level of energy, motivation, inspiration, because there's so many people out here today that are competing against themselves, which is, that's what it's all about in my mind.
You just saw what you called your training partner, Mo Farah, just a second ago. Is it a little intimidating to see the elites come out here and really run it?
No, it's not, because I consider myself one of them. It's all mental. See, that's what everybody has to understand. Running is mental. You are what you think you are. Like I said, you're competing against yourself. So when you come out here and you see these amazing athletes that do this in such an amazing amount of time, and then you see other waves of people who are out here running for personal gains. Some people are running to inspire others. Some people are running for foundations.
And you're running to put kids through college.
Of course. Yeah. There's a purpose behind my run, and that's what I personally choose to do. I put a purpose on each run. So right now, I'm running for education. Last year, I was able to send, I think, 18 kids. I sent 18 kids to college, so I'm going to try to double it.
And he's got a show tonight in Greenville, South Carolina, the busiest man on the planet right now. Kevin Hart, good luck. Hope you beat your record. All right.
Thank you, man. Good luck. I'll see you guys later.
All right, there it is, Marion. Siafa.
Kevin Hart, who they interviewed before the marathon. I got to think that he's probably done by now, right? That Kevin Hart, if that was early this morning, say, what, 7, 8 o'clock? Something like that. He's probably got to be done by now, but we haven't heard a time. We haven't heard anything about that. So we'll see if we can get a time or follow up on Kevin Hart later on. And be listening for details. Now inspired by not only the marathon this morning, but what we heard from Andy and Schwani a couple of minutes ago. Both enjoying running. I've never enjoyed running. I have never enjoyed jogging, running, marathons. Never enjoyed any of it ever in my whole life.
I was just going to say, it was a discovery for me. I needed credits in physical education to graduate.
Right.
You know, we had to have a minimum.
So this was an easy class?
It was a fairly easy class.
Yeah.
Although the challenge was you had to do 2 miles in less than 15 minutes.
Wow.
And I did. And I actually enjoyed it. It was warmer weather. I took the course in the late spring, and I just enjoyed it. I got an A out of it. And I used to enjoy running when I was 40 years younger.
Now, what kind of class? What do they teach you how to...
Like how to pace yourself.
Certain techniques of running?
How to pace yourself. You know, it's not a sprint because you're not going to last. And they also took into account what kind of shape you were in. There were some, you know, more experienced runners in the class, as I remember. Okay. But, you know, for a guy like me, you know, he would show you how to pace yourself. You know, slow and steady wins the race, as they say. Yeah. And but he said, if you keep doing what you're doing, you see signs of improvement as you continue. And by the end of the course, I made it in something like 12 to 14 minutes. So I was under the 15-minute mark, and I got an A.
Good for you. Massey,
that was
maybe
the only A I ever got.
Maybe so. I just was never instructed properly.
Yeah.
Because I never enjoyed it, ever.
No, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, there was nothing slow and steady about the races in cross-country. 3.1 miles.
No, not those. No.
3.1 miles, and I think the fastest time I ever ran was about 17:20.
Wow.
Jeez.
Look at you. Man. Look at you, too.
Did you do a 100-yard dash or a sprint or anything?
I did the half mile as part of the 3,200-meter relay. And I think I ran my fastest half mile was about 2:20, 2:15, something like that.
That's pretty good.
I'm impressed.
It's like it's an all-out sprint.
Yeah, it really is.
For a half mile, and it was an all-out sprint for basically 3.1 miles.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's why we're happy to announce the Mazur-Schwani standoff.
Oh, we're gonna go at it, yes.
Out when we do the broadcast.
Well, we've got these hallways here now. We can just do this circle.
Well, you can do
control.
your
10-yard dash?
Training, but no, we're going to have the... there's a lot of land, as Schwani said, out by Tree Time in Lake Barrington. And when we're out there... you guys can go toe-to-toe.
All right, I'm going to get serious about this. I'm going to start my training
tomorrow.
There
goes my trick knee. I can feel my trick knee.
I've got one of those too, so I think we're both at the we have the same advantage and disadvantage.
Oh, this is even better if there's a chance of injury.
Yeah, there's a huge chance of injury.
There's a chance of double injury. Now I'm really excited.
You can do some real play-by-play here, Dean.
Now I'm super excited.
Will we have medics on scene?
Started off as an innocent broadcast at a Christmas tree store. There goes the ambulance taking both of the...
Schwani has a lower body injury and is not going to return.
He's being carried off the field.
It's going to be a
motionless.
It's going to be a good broadcast, I can tell. And that's how we assemble our Christmas tree time show every year. It happens by accident like this. All right, so we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. We've got our food time show coming up next. WGN.
Saying our love could take us away together.
I think our love can do anything we want it to.
One of the many tear-inducing scenes from the motion picture, The Notebook, that starred Ryan Gosling. Who's done so many great movies over the years. His latest movie is called First Man, in which he plays astronaut Neil Armstrong. And the story is about Neil Armstrong's career leading up to the actual moon landing on July 20th, 1969. Really great movie, beautifully shot, beautifully directed by Oscar winner Damien Chazelle, who directed La La Land with Ryan Gosling. Both Ryan Gosling and Damien Chazelle will be in Chicago and on the WGN-TV morning news tomorrow, live. They'll be in studio with us live tomorrow morning at 8:45. So we're looking forward to seeing them again, talking with them, and talking about the movie and, you know, some of their other things that they've done together through the years. That's all tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV morning news. So coming up, we're going to be talking, get into our food show. And today we're talking about slow cookers, slow cooking recipes. Do you have favorites? Do you have certain things that you love in the grill? One of my favorite things to do in the fall, this has, you know, been kind of a weird fall so far, because one day it's 50 degrees and the next day it's 80. So you can't really get a pattern going. But, you know, in the crisper autumn days, what I love is putting all the ingredients for homemade chili in a slow cooker, crock pot. And, you know, just you turn it on, you do your day's activities. And at the end of the day, you know, you've got, you know, fantastic homemade chili. I like lots of vegetables. I like red peppers and green peppers and onions, and I like kidney beans in it. A lot of people don't. I quickly brown ground beef just to put some color in it, because it's going to cook and I want all the flavors to stay in the slow cooker. But I brown it before it goes in, and you know, tomato sauce and chili powder and all the usual ingredients. There's no like super secret recipe that I have, you know, for any of this. But that's one of my favorite things in the fall, and that's what sort of got us thinking, what if we came up with some fantastic slow cooker recipes for fall? That's what we're going to talk about in our next segment with our friends from Epicurious.com, one of the best websites you can find with recipes for anything. But they really have come up with some great slow cooker recipes for you, and we're going to talk about those. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll check in to the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in a couple of minutes and get the very latest on the marathon and everything else going on this morning. 720 WGN. This is so interesting, talking about Ryan Gosling and the movie First Man. Somebody texted in saying, ask Damien Chazelle, the director of the movie, the official reasoning as to the removing of the American flag from NASA uniforms in First Man. And it's signed Tina. And as I've responded to Tina, clearly she has not seen the movie. Clearly she has only read the false talking points that have been put out about this movie. I have seen the movie. There are American flags not only on the uniforms, but all over this movie. Have been from the beginning. Where this all started, I don't know. But why people are continuing to perpetuate this lie when they haven't even seen the movie. See the movie and then say whatever you want about it. But you haven't seen the movie, you have no idea what you're talking about the flag and about this film First Man. But don't let the truth get in the way of you sending out texts. That would be ridiculous. Let's get a check of our WGN news now. Here is Dave Schwann. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something of me? Eat it, eat it, eat it. Just eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Right, 12:39. Time for Food Time, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. Food Time this week sponsored by Greek Islands Restaurant in Chicago and in Lombard. And today, as I'd mentioned, we are talking slow cooking today. It's that time of year, even though we're going to have 80-degree temperatures in Chicago later this week. It's still, the chill is in the air for the most part, and time to dig into some of those good things. Chat with David Tamarkin with Epicurious.com, one of our favorite websites for all things recipes, all things cooking. David, welcome back to the old Food Time Show. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being with us today. So when you're talking slow cooking, are you talking like, you know, old-fashioned traditional crock pots? Are you talking, you know, more fancy versions that are out now? These, you know, for a while, everyone was getting one of those Instapot, you know, things. It's like half slow cooker, half pressure cooker, you know, does a lot of different things. What exactly does somebody need in order to start a slow cooking project?
Well, my take on this is a little controversial. I think that you really only need crock pot, the kind of old school, simple, electric slow cooker that only does one thing, and that's slow cook. It's good if that slow cooker has a option to cook on high or low, because that can help you, you know, schedule your meal. If you want to eat in 4 hours, slow cook it on high. If you want it, you know, go to work while your dinner's cooking, put it on low and it'll be ready in 8 hours. The Instant Pot does have slow cooking capabilities, but, and this is the controversial thing that I'm about to say, I don't think it's a very good slow cooker. I think it's a great pressure cooker. I've actually never tried the rice cooking, so I can't speak on that. But, you know, there are a lot of great things you can do with an Instant Pot, but I personally don't like it for slow cooking because when I've done that, it's taken way longer than a normal slow cooker. It's a too slow cooker is what I would call it.
Too slow cooker.
Yeah.
A not so instant pot, apparently.
Right, yeah.
I'm not a fan of really anything, not just the cooking device, but there have been lots of devices of, you know, here is item X, and it does this, and it does this, and it does this, and does this. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't really do any of the things as efficiently as if you would just have different devices for different things. I mean, if you want a pressure cooker, it's a lot cheaper to go buy a pressure cooker than it is an Instant Pot. If you want a slow cooker, you can get for, you know, like $25, you know, most any place now. A good one, or, you know, good quality one. And, you know, I've had my slow cooker. I think it might be a crock pot brand. I'll bet I've had it 25 years. I know I didn't pay much more than $20 for it. Works perfectly.
Yeah, and actually, you can take that one step further. You could say, well, you don't even need an electronic slow cooker, really. You could just buy a Dutch oven at a garage sale and use that. The benefit of the electric slow cooker, of course, is that it kind of does its thing unattended. You don't have to worry about it scorching on the bottom. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be around.
Right.
But, you know, there are lots of ways to skin a cat. There are lots of ways to cook a pork shoulder and you know, everything from, you know, just the pot, your grandmother's old pot, your Instant Pot. You know, it just depends on how gadgety you are and how much space you have. in the kitchen. I think the Instant Pot and those, all those appliances that you were talking about before that do a lot of things are good for people who have really limited space in their homes. I have thought, you know, the Instant Pot would be amazing if I were still in college, which, you know, was only last week, and I'm so young.
That's right. I understand.
An Instant Pot could be a good, like, dorm room thing.
Yeah,
oh, I'm not, own kitchen in its own, you know.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, the purpose of this is not to trash Instant Pot, but just to you know, to see really what do you need. Do you need to spend $100-$200 on a device, or can you get by with a $20 device that, you know, will basically do the same thing? I was talking in the previous segment of one of my favorite things to do in the fall. Is put all the ingredients in, you know, for chili, put them in the morning, go do whatever I'm going to do during the day. And, you know, since it's winter, I'm going to say, you know, I probably went out and chopped trees down and, you know, did all kind of lumberjacky kind of
right,
things.
Right.
You know, and then I come in with a powerful hunger and my, my chili's done, you know, then, and the house smells fantastic. You know, it smells like fresh homemade chili going on. What do you have a favorite chili recipe?
Yeah, well, we have on the site on Epicurious, we have a couple of different chili recipes, and we're actually coming up with a new one next week, which I just tasted in Test Kitchen. It's fabulous. So the one I like is the green chicken chili. So we have a food editor here named Rhoda Boone, who is straight from Texas, and, you know, in Texas, they don't mess around with their chili. It's a bowl of red or it's nothing else.
Right.
But she was living in New York now, and she decided to kind of stray from her roots and do a bowl of green chicken chili, which I think thought was really fabulous. And, of course, the difference is that it's the kind of chilies you have in it, which makes it green or red. So she used the tomatillo salsa in there. She put pinto beans in. And you could also use chicken, but you could also use pork. And she also put in, which I really loved, some sweet potatoes, you know, cut up into 1-inch cubes.
Wow, I love that combination. Really, yeah, that combination of the tomatillo salsa and you know, sort of other traditional spices, the pinto beans, a little bit different, but the sweet potatoes really adds a whole different flavor to this whole thing.
Yeah, and, you know, because you have that tomatillo salsa, which is tangy. Maybe a little spicy, depending on the one you get. And of course, if it's me, I'm gonna add like a chopped up, you know, jalapeno or serrano in there because I like it spicy. And then the sweet potatoes in there to offset all of that. And also, when you slow cook the sweet potato, it gets holds its texture, it holds its shape, but it becomes really luscious and you know, almost creamy when you bite into it. So sweet potatoes, I think in general, are great for slow cooking.
Have on our text line, people texting in a couple of different things, Dean, talking about Instant Pot. You obviously haven't watched episodes of This Is Us, where we didn't. I think an Instant Pot exploded, didn't it, and killed somebody or something. I don't watch This Is Us, but I know what happened. I think I know what happened with it.
I didn't watch it either, but I heard about it.
Somebody texted in. I have two crock pots going, one with pulled barbecue chicken and the other baked beans. That's a lovely combination of having the two things going at the same time. You know, and how easy for preparation and also for cleanup later on.
Well, here's what I love about that, and this is one amazing thing about slow cooker and just slow cooking in general. Like you said, it's a great thing to do on Sunday when they're, you know, doing whatever you need to do in the world. But when you get home, not only have dinner for that night, but if you have two slow cookers going, or even one, and you're full of beans or chicken, you have stuff for your lunches for the week. You have stuff for dinners throughout the week. You know, you're not just cooking for one night. You know, slow cookers in general hold a lot of food. So it's a great meal prep tool.
Right. And for my money, even more delicious the second or third night when the flavors, you know, really have a chance to meld into each other. 630 area code said slow cooker chicken stroganoff. You have cubed chicken breasts cooking slowly in chicken broth and Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning. After 5 hours, add cream cheese and sour cream, shredded cheese, and corn if you like. cook up some pasta, mix it all together, and serve with garlic bread. That sounds great. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning dressing. Whatever. Talking about chicken in the slow cooker, you've got a slow cooker shredded chicken recipe?
Yeah, this is just a basic recipe. My experience is that people who have slow cookers, they usually use them for one of two things. Either shredded chicken, and actually we did, like that texter just said, you know, with the Hidden Valley Ranch, that was basically just making shredded chicken with, you know, a bunch of different flavors in it. Or they're doing shredded pork. I think these people like shredded meats in their slow cooker. So this is, if you're going to have a slow cooker and you really don't know what to make in it, this is an excellent basic recipe because it's very easy. All it is, you know, it's boneless, skinless chicken thighs, onion, garlic, you know, some herbs, and you're doing it in chicken broth. And that's it. Salt and pepper, and that's it. So when you're done with it, that's where the fun begins because you can do 100 different things with shredded chicken. You can turn it into tacos. You can, you know, you can turn it into a pasta like that texter was doing. You can turn it into like a barbecue situation, just throwing some barbecue sauce into it and putting it on a sandwich. There are so many things you can do with it. You know, actually, you could do something really fun with like pizza, like a barbecue chicken pizza like that.
Yeah, sure.
Basically, it's like the beans that we were talking about before. You have it in your fridge. You're set to go. You're halfway to being made already.
I notice on the green chicken chili recipe and also this shredded chicken recipe that you have, you're using chicken thighs instead of white meat on this. I assume that's intentional for a little more maybe flavor and moisture.
Yeah. And so chicken thighs have more fat in them, and so they're going to stay moist when they slow cook. Breasts are fine. I mean, you know, you can definitely slow cook a breast and it'll shred easily, but it does have the potential to possibly dry out if you don't time it exactly right. It's very, very hard to dry out chicken thighs. And, you know, we're taking the skin off. It's you know, I think from a fat perspective, if you're worried about fat, I think the difference is probably negligible. Of course, if you're really worried about it, then go for the breast. The breast will also work, but we like thighs better. Better flavor, better texture.
Yeah. Someone's saying making quesadillas with the shredded chicken for lunch right now. That's really perfect. Once you've got that shredded chicken, as David said, you can use it with so many things, but in a quesadilla is a fantastic idea. 630 saying, I use sweet potatoes in place of carrots in all of my dishes for soup, stew, stir fries, pot roast, etc. That's a good idea as well. Here's another saying, I use my slow cooker on Thanksgiving. We only have one oven. So corn custard, extra stuffing, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole, all great in the slow cooker. Some fantastic ideas there.
That is a great idea. I love that because that is such a big problem, right? You know, having limited space on Thanksgiving. And what are you going to do? You're going to get another oven just for one day of the year? No. So right. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and some things, you know, you really don't need, you know, the full oven for. A slow cooker is perfect for something like a green bean casserole or for extra stuffing, things that you just want, you know, a little something extra on. Let me take a quick break and we'll come right back. Talk more with David Tamarkin from Epicurious.com next on WGN. And we're back in our Food Time show, reminding you to check out Chicago's Best tonight at 10 on WGN-TV with pineapple stuffed with seafood and melted cheese being featured. Chicago's Best Seafood tonight on Chicago's Best and our Food Time show sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurant, where you're invited to enjoy the warm Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands Restaurant in Greektown downtown or in Lombard. Their extra virgin olive oil, seafood, wines, herbs, and spices are imported directly from Greece. Their meals are delicious and healthy. Some of the favorites: the whole Mediterranean sea bass, baked chicken rigonati, homemade gyros. With the holidays approaching, it's never too soon to start planning for your party. They do have private party rooms available at both of the Greek Islands locations, so call now and reserve yours. If you need catering, Greek Islands will do all the work. or pick up your party trays and serve. Since 1971, the Greek Islands is Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices. Parking is free. Greek Islands in Chicago at 200 South Halsted, Halsted and Adams, or in Lombard, 300 East 22nd Street. Greek Islands, America's most popular Greek restaurants. 1255, David Tamarkin's on the line with us from Epicurious.com. What's new with Epicurious? What are you working on now, David, that we'll be seeing on the website soon?
Well, actually, what we have coming out is not on the website. We have a book coming out in December called Cook 90, which is all about sort of what we were talking about before, how to fit cooking into your life, meal prep solutions, meal plans. We have 4 weeks of meal plans, and specifically Cook 90 is a 30-day plan that has a few rules, the number one rule being you cook everything you eat for 30 days, and at the end of those 30 days, you get healthier, you've saved a lot of money, and you've become a better cook, and this book takes you through how to do all of that. And a lot of the recipes that we're talking about are in that book.
Okay, some great stuff. Give us one more slow cooker recipe that we can try on a Sunday night in Chicago.
Oh, well, you said something. So the one I was thinking about, I'm going to give you two, okay? But just one really quick thing I was thinking about, the Thanksgiving comment, and I was thinking about the problem I have on Thanksgiving is, you know, you got to wake up and you got to start cooking. You're cooking all day, and you still have to eat in the morning. You know, so we have a recipe on the site for a slow cooker oatmeal with apples and ginger.
Oh, nice.
You can put together the night before, and it's just ready to go in the morning, which I thought would be really great. If you have lots of family in town, you can just set that slow cooker out into the dining room and say, hey, help yourself. We're going to be in the kitchen cooking. So that's one thing that's on the site that I think is really, really great. The other recipe that I love on our site, I'm actually really obsessed with it, is a slow cooker pork dish. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that I think that most people use their slow cookers for shredded meats, but this is a slow cooker pork shoulder, but you stop it just before it gets to that texture where it like falls apart and you shred it. This is more of a sliced pork shoulder.
Huh.
And it's really, really amazing. And it has this wonderful basil sauce with it. So, you know, this was developed in the spring, but I personally eat this all year round. It's got the sauce, you know, I can always get basil at the supermarket. It's got shallot, basil, oregano, and some lemon juice and some spices.
Sounds
and
like it's more,
it's
more
the meal.
Yeah, sounds like more the consistency of like a Cuban roasted pork.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, or almost like a beef roast that you would slice.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like that. Yeah, and it's so good and so easy. Like everything we're talking about, there's nothing easier than dinner made in a slow cooker. So I encourage people to try that one.
Give it a look at epicurious.com. David Tamarkin, always good to talk to you. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.